Bibles, if you would, please, and open with me to Psalm 70. And for visitors, we are going through the Psalms. We started at Psalm 1, believe it or not. We went through the first 25, then we took a break and went verse by verse through 1 Corinthians. We went back and did Psalms 26 through 50. We took a break and did 1 and 2 Thessalonians. Now we're on 51 through 75. We'll take a break and go through Revelation. And by the end of that, I'll probably be gone and you'll be on to your next pastor because it'll take years to get through Revelation. So, but Lord willing, I would like to get through Psalm 150 before the Lord is done with me here on earth. But today we're in Psalm 70. And interestingly, as I read it, I would doubt if you would recognize this right away, but Psalm 70 is actually an excerpt from Psalm 40. And if you have a little, if you have a cross-reference column in your Bible, it'll probably say refer back to Psalm 40. This is, Psalm 70 is Psalm 40 verses 13 through 17 repeated. Why would you do that? Why would you repeat a song? Why would you take a portion of a previous song and repeat it? Well, listen to the inscription and you'll know. To the chief musician, a psalm of David to bring to remembrance. Or your Bible might say, for a memorial. So, hint, hint, you should expect reminders out of this psalm. Reminders. Because that's what this psalm is for. It's to bring certain things back to your memory. It's for a memorial. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Make haste to help me, O Lord. Let them be ashamed and confounded who seek my life. Let them be turned back and confused who desire my hurt. Let them be turned back because of their shame who say, aha, aha. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. Let's start with the big picture. I think that's always a good place to start. Here, the Spirit of God is once again showing us his servant David in serious trouble. Now, this is Psalm 70, right? We've been through 69 Psalms before this. How many times have we seen God's servant David in serious trouble? I mean, over and over and over again. The Spirit of God is showing us once again that David was in serious trouble and because of evil people. How many times have we seen that? Again and again. We know that he's in serious trouble because three times he says, make haste. Look at verse 1. Make haste, O God, to deliver me. Now, make haste is in italics there. It means it's not in the original, but it's implied. It basically is, O God, to help me. Hurry up, is the implication. Make haste to help me, O Lord. And then verse 5. But I am poor and needy. Make haste to me, O God. You are my help and my deliverer. O Lord, do not delay. So he's in serious trouble. And it's because of evil people. We know that because he tells us in verses 2 and 3 that, number one, they were seeking his life. Number two, they were desiring his hurt. And number three, they're saying, aha, aha. Now, what does that mean? Aha, aha. At first, I thought it means, aha, we gotcha. Could mean that. However, one commentator said, and then I searched this out and found it to be true, aha, aha was an expression of joyful satisfaction at the downfall of your enemy. Ha ha! Been waiting for this, wanting for you to fall. David's enemies were just looking for, waiting for, anticipating a time when they could see him fall or fail in his faith. And they thought they had him. Ha ha! We got you. I'm Mr. Godly leader. He was a king. And he was a king who stood for God and for his word. And he was not going to let people get away with sin. In fact, one of the Psalms says that he would take care of the wicked daily. Try and banish the wicked or deal with the wicked daily. Well, guess what? If you're going to stand up for truth and justice and righteousness, and if you're going to deal with sin and wickedness, there are going to be people who seek your life and seek your hurt and wait for you to fall. So the Spirit of God is showing us that David, once again, is in serious trouble because of evil people. That's the big picture. And from that, let me give you two reminders, of which there will be four, since this is a psalm to bring to remembrance. Reminder number one is a reminder concerning serious trouble. And the truth is, That is what you should expect if you're a servant of God. Serious trouble. Sometimes people act surprised if they run into trouble when they're in ministry or when they're serving God or when they're just living the Christian life. And I say what Peter said. Don't act like some strange thing is happening to you. You should expect this. Serious trouble is part of the Christian life, even for the godliest saints. David suffered serious troubles throughout his life, and we see that throughout the Psalms. The Son of David, Jesus Christ, suffered serious troubles in his life, and we see that throughout the Gospels. And as you know, Jesus told his disciples, in this world you will have tribulations. That means you will have serious troubles. John 16:33. All of the apostles suffered serious troubles, and they told all the churches to expect the exact same thing. You know, Connie brought up this morning about brothers and sisters in Venezuela. They're suffering serious troubles because of evil people. We pray for them, but we're not surprised. In fact, it's surprising that we aren't suffering in exactly the same ways. And if we do, if that day comes, we will not be surprised. All of the apostles also told the churches to expect this, and a few scriptures will suffice to remind you of that. Acts 14:22, they were strengthening the souls of the disciples, exhorting them to continue in the faith, reminder from Sunday school class this morning, and saying, we must through many tribulations enter the kingdom of God. In other words, that's the way to get there. The way to get to the kingdom of God is only through many serious trials. Philippians 1:29, for to you it has been granted on behalf of Christ not only to believe in him, faith is a gift, that's a reminder from that, but also to suffer for his sake. It has been granted to you to suffer for the sake of Jesus Christ. Granted to you by God, Philippians 1:29. 1 Thessalonians 3:3, that no one should be shaken by these afflictions, for you yourselves know that we were appointed to this. We have been appointed by God to suffer serious troubles in this life. That's a reminder from Psalm 70. 1 Peter 2:20 says, what credit is it if when you are beaten for your faults, you take that patiently? In other words, if you deserve to be beaten and you get beaten and you take that patiently, there's no credit in that because you deserved it. Sounds kind of harsh, right? But when you do good and you suffer for that, if you take that patiently, this is commendable before God. Why? Because to you, the called, for to this you were called, because Christ also suffered for us, leaving us an example that you should follow in his footsteps. What's the reminder? Serious trouble is to be expected if you're a servant of God. And we see that just from the big picture of Psalm 70, the Spirit of God shows us David suffering serious trouble because of evil people. And I say, be reminded, that's part of this life. And the second goes with it. It leads us to the second. In part, we suffer in this world because of evil people. That's the second reminder. It concerns evil people. And the truth is, if you're a follower of Jesus Christ, expect the world to hate you. You should expect that this world is going to hate you. David was hated, as we see in this psalm and others. And he says elsewhere that this was because of his commitment to the Lord and his ways. That's why he was hated. The Son of David, Jesus Christ, was hated so much so that they nailed him to the cross. Jesus died for our sins, yes. He also died because people are sinners. Jesus died because evil people believed that he was blaspheming when he said that he is God in the flesh. Well, Jesus Christ is God in the flesh. And to this day, that truth angers people. And Jesus said to his disciples, John 15, if the world hates you, know that it hated me before it hated you. If you were of this world, the world would love its own. Yet because you are not of this world, but I chose you out of this world, therefore the world hates you. Remember the word that I said to you, a servant is not greater than his master. If they persecuted me, they will also persecute you. 2 Timothy 3:12 says, and I'm sure you can finish this sentence, yes, and all who desire to live godly in Christ Jesus will suffer persecution. That's just the big picture. Two reminders. The Spirit of God is showing us his servant David once again in serious trouble because of evil people, and we're reminded serious trouble is part of the Christian life, and so are evil people. But that's not all we have here. Take a look at verse 4. in the midst of this plea, this cry, God, help me, make haste, hurry up, don't delay, I need you now. In the midst of that, we have verse 4. What is this? Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you. And let those who love your salvation say continually, let God be magnified. And most of us grew up with those little like math things where it's, which of these numbers doesn't fit? You know, 3, 6, 9, 11. Well, 3, 6, 9 should be 12, right? In this psalm, verse 4 doesn't seem to fit. I mean, David is in serious trouble. Evil people are seeking his life. They're saying, aha, aha, because they can just taste it. He's about to fail. But right when they think he's about to fail, in the midst of a cry to God for help, what is this? Well, I'll tell you what it is. This is an intercessory prayer for all other Christians for their joy and gladness in God based on the gospel. It's an intercessory prayer for the joy and gladness of all believers. Oh, and by the way, and for there to be a continual proclamation of the gospel. And it's based on the gospel, all of it. In the midst of this cry to help, there's a big lesson in all of this for us, which we'll see. But let's walk through this intercessory prayer in verse 4, and we'll get a couple more reminders, all right? Verse 4, let all those who seek you, and stop there. Well, who is that? You might think that's unbelievers. You know, unbelievers who are seeking the Lord. That's not who this is. This is believers. Probably newer ones. It's those who have heard of the Lord, and by the grace of God, they are responding in faith, seeking to know him more, seeking to understand his ways and walk in them. And a study of the use of the phrase, those who seek you, in the Psalms would bear this out. We don't have time to go through a study of that phrase in the Psalms. But in Psalm 34, those who seek God is in parallel with those who fear God, which is another Old Testament description of believers. And there's another psalm in which those who seek God is contrasted with those who do not seek God, and those who do not are called the wicked. So he's praying for believers. Let all those who seek you, let all my fellow believers, and possibly it's let all my fellow newer believers, let them what? Let them rejoice and be glad in you. In other words, let it be that their seeking you is rewarded with a knowledge of you and a joy and a gladness in you. And what is that? Well, that's the gospel in a nutshell. The gospel is that sinners who deserve only to be separated from God forever because he hates sin and is the judge of sin. Yet sinners, the gospel is that sinners who seek the Lord will find him and will be rewarded with the knowledge of him and will come to the point where they have joy and gladness in him. And David is simply praying in light of the gospel for it to be fulfilled. Let it be that all who seek you, God, will find their joy and their gladness in you. That is the gospel in a nutshell. Moses, in Deuteronomy chapter 4, told Israel, he prophesied, you know, the day is going to come when you all are going to forsake the Lord and you're going to suffer for it. But then, he says, Deuteronomy 4:29, from there, your banishment, your chastisement, you will seek the Lord your God and you will find him if you seek him with all your heart and with all your soul. And that's exactly what happened in history. Israel sinned against God. God chastised them. They sought the Lord. He brought them back. This is the gospel of God's grace. Look again at what David prayed in verse 4, because there are important reminders in this for us. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation, stop there. Now who's that? Believers, for sure. Probably more mature believers. Ones who have come to know God and his salvation and to see just how glorious it is, so much so that they can say, ah, I love God's salvation. I love his salvation. And you might say, well, what is there to love about God's salvation? How would you answer that? What is there to love about God's salvation? Everything. That would be the right answer. Everything. How about the fact of God's salvation? Just the fact that the God who made the heavens and the earth and all they contain, the God who made you, the God who knows your heart, knows your thoughts, knows your sins, that that same God who is holy and hates sin has loved us. Now, this is David talking, right? This is before Christ and the cross. So he has a certain knowledge of God's love. You know, Deuteronomy 7, God told Israel, I have set my love on you. Remember why he set his love on him? On them? Why did God love Israel? Because they were the greatest of all the nations? No. Anybody remember when God says, I set my love on you? It's because I have loved you. What? Yes. God chose Israel and loved them because he chose to love them. We live after Christ on the cross. And we say, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whoever believes in him should not perish but have everlasting life. Has he loved you? I'll tell you what. Do you know why he's loved you? It's because he has chosen to love you. Just the fact of God's salvation, that the sovereign God of the universe would choose not only to send his Son into this world to die for sins, but that he would choose to give you faith to believe that message, which to most people is an offense or a stumbling block. I love that. That's like being adopted. That's like being, you know, you're on death row, you're going for the chair, or you're going to be poor, you deserve to die, and God comes in and says, come with me. And somehow you respond when everybody else doesn't. And God says, well, yes, I chose you before the foundation of the world. That's what the Bible teaches. I love that. Just the fact of God's salvation is reason to love it. David marveled at this in an earlier psalm, Psalm 8. He said, O Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth. You've set your glory above the heavens. Verse 3 says, when I consider your heavens and the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained. Now stop just for a second. You ever stand outside at night and look up and go, wow. I was in the mountains on Friday night seeing if I could camp out in 35 degree temperatures. I made it. Look, I'm alive. I've never been able to do that before, but I guess I figured that out. If you want to know why I did that, ask me afterwards. I'll tell you why. Okay, why I'm trying to get to where I can camp out in the cold. But I was on the mountaintop near Greenhorn Mountain on Friday night, and it got down to about 35, 40 degrees. And I looked up. Man, the stars are bright up there. No light pollution, so to speak. David says, when I do that, when I consider your heavens, the work of your fingers, the moon and the stars which you have ordained, I think, what is man that you are mindful of him? Why do you pay any attention to us? You're the God who created everything. What is man that you are mindful of him, and the son of man that you visit him? And yet you have made him a little lower than the angels and have crowned him with glory and honor. You've made him to have dominion over the works of your hands. You've put all things under his feet, all sheep and oxen, the beasts of the field, the birds of the air, the fish of the sea that pass through the paths of the sea. Oh, Lord, our Lord, how excellent is your name in all the earth, that you would think of us. So just the fact that God saves us sinners and makes us his children and heirs of heaven, that's enough to love. But added to that are the features of his salvation. I've said it many times before, I'll say it again, and I'll say it again and again. Salvation is a package deal. And it's the greatest package deal you will ever find. You will never find anything that comes close on Amazon.com or Walmart.com or any other .com or anywhere else. Romans 5 reveals 7 aspects of our salvation. I'm just going to remind you very quickly for the sake of time. But in addition to being righteous in the sight of God, if you are in Jesus Christ, you have eternal peace with God, ongoing access to more of his grace, a joyful expectation of seeing his glory one day, joy even in all of your trials because you can see that they are useful for you, the love of God poured out through your heart by the Holy Spirit who has been given to you, assurance of future deliverance from the wrath to come, and a joy in knowing the God of the universe. That's a very short list of some of the features of salvation. What's not to love? And add to that is the future of it, the future of our salvation, which is that we will be delivered from all the serious troubles of this life and from all the evil people of this world who exalt themselves against us, and one day we'll be in God's glorious presence forever, rejoicing. So what's David's prayer? Look at verse 4 again. Let all those who seek you rejoice and be glad in you, and let those who love your salvation. Now, by way of application, is that you? Do you love the salvation of God and the God of your salvation? Well, then David prays, let them say continually, let God be magnified, let God be magnified. Which I was with the kids before I knew that Sean was here. and decided to have him come up and talk to the kids. I have a little magnifying glass back there. And I was going to take that magnifying glass and say, what's this? And they'd say, a magnifying glass. And I had some really small print. And I was going to say, what's this? And they would say, small print. I'd say, well, now what's happening? And put that magnifying glass there and say, the small print is being made large for all to see. Well, what does it mean, let God be magnified? It does not mean let God, who is small, be made to be bigger than he is. Because you can't do that. It does mean let God's greatness be made known for all to see. That's what it means. David is praying this in the midst of his serious troubles because of evil peoples. And so how about a reminder or two? A reminder or two. Well, first, we have the first two, right? Serious troubles, that's part of the Christian life. And so are evil people. But here's a reminder. What about the gospel? There is a great and glorious gospel. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the gospel of God's salvation. It is the good news that despite all the serious troubles and despite all evil peoples, God in his grace has saved us evil peoples from the punishment that we deserve. What about the gospel? In the midst, David shows us this, the Spirit of God shows us this in David. In the midst of all this bad news and these serious troubles and all these evil people, there is the good news of God's salvation. And another reminder, there are God's people. What about God's people? They're out there too, right? It's not just this is a world full of serious troubles and evil people. This is a world in which there is good news and godly people over whom we ought to rejoice and for whom we ought to pray. And here's the lesson for all of us. Don't miss this part. Have you ever heard somebody bring to you troubles and you think, I have enough troubles of my own? You ever heard that said? You ever said that yourself? Hey, I got enough troubles of my own. Which is kind of like, maybe you don't mean this, but it's kind of like saying, don't let me hear about your troubles. You want to hear about troubles, I'll tell you about my troubles. I have enough troubles of my own to be concerned about your troubles. David didn't think that way. Neither did Christ. Here's the lesson. No matter how serious your troubles, and no matter how evil some people, we should never lose sight of the gospel or of God's people or of the goal for which we live, and that is the spread of the gospel, which is what David means when he says, let God be magnified. Christ, on the night before he was crucified, prayed for you. Did you know that in John 17? Christ, on the night before he was crucified, is not just thinking about himself. Even when Christ was hanging on the cross, he's praying for his persecutors, saying, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. Here's the lesson for you. Listen, I know that some of you are going through serious troubles. And I know some of you have gone through serious troubles in this past year. Never let your serious troubles cause you to lose sight of the gospel or God's people or the need that the gospel would be proclaimed. That's what David's praying for. In the midst of his plea, help me God, make haste, he's remembering the gospel, he's remembering God's people, and he's praying for the gospel to be spread. And he's praying for God's people to rejoice in God. When he says to bring to remembrance or a memorial, I think that's part of it. It could be to remind God's people, don't lose sight of the gospel. It could be to remind God and say, God, even in my deepest trials, I've never lost sight of your salvation. I've never lost sight of your people. And I haven't lost sight of the goal for which I live, that the gospel would be proclaimed, that people would go around saying, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. So if you're here this morning and you're a Christian, I encourage you, don't be focused on yourself and all your trials and all your own troubles. Don't lose sight of the gospel of Jesus Christ. Don't lose sight of God's people who need your prayers, and don't lose sight of the goal, which is that the gospel will be proclaimed. But finally, you may be here this morning and you don't have Christ. Maybe you're one of the evil people. I don't know. Maybe you're here this morning and you hate Christians and you hate the church and you hate God, but you happen to show up in church. I don't know. I have good news for you. The God of heaven is sovereign. He's the one who wants you to hear the gospel. He's the one who wants you to be saved. He's the one who wants you to turn from your sins. Could be you're here this morning, and if we could look at your life, if we could put on screen right now, okay, we're going to put your life over the past month on this screen. And we're all going to see everything you've been doing. It could be we look and you would bow your head and go, I'm so ashamed. It could be you're living in sin and yet you're in church. You know, the God of heaven hates hypocrisy. And yet he's willing to save hypocrites. Maybe today's the day when you need to finally repent. Confess your sin to God. Say, God, forgive me. Forgive me, Lord, of my sins. And ask God to change you and turn you around. Leave this place saying, let God be magnified. Let God be praised. Don't leave here without Christ. If you came here without him, don't leave without him. Don't leave here without his salvation. Don't leave here without his forgiveness. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your word, and we thank you for how you encourage us. We thank you for the reminders that you give us. But especially today, we thank you for this reminder of the gospel. We are here to celebrate communion and to remember Jesus Christ and his work for us on the cross. I thank you for Brother Rick, who always sets our mind on Christ when he leads us in communion. Father, set our minds on your Son. Let us examine ourselves as to whether we're in the faith. And we pray, Father, help us never to lose sight of the glorious gospel and of your greatness. We pray it in Christ's name. Amen.